Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Nicholas Johnson, who was a commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission from 1996 to 1973. He's the author of How to Talk Back to Your Television Set and Your Second Priority, A Former FCC Commissioner Speaks Out. He currently teaches at the University of Iowa College of Law. Welcome to Background Briefing, Nicholas Johnson.
Thank you, Ian.
And I understand that your response to President Obama's choice of Tom Wheeler, a lobbyist for the telecommunications industry, to become the next chairman of the FCC, it strikes you as being bizarre?
I'd say somewhere between bizarre and outrageous, yes.
Elaborate, if you will.
Well, this is an agency that probably has more direct impact on every American than any other independent regulatory commission in Washington. And its charter from Congress described its mission as one of serving the public interest, not the corporate interest, the public interest. And indeed, that phrase is used throughout the act. And so what you really should have as chair of the FCC is someone who's committed to representing the interests of consumers, minorities, the poor, women, people who are not well represented at the FCC. Business interests have pretty well taken care of themselves. That hasn't been a problem for them, although it's been a problem for all the rest of us. And so here's a fellow who was a trade association president for one group of folks in business who come before the FCC, a lobbyist for other people in the communications industries, a lobbyist before Congress, and a venture capitalist who's invested in many of these companies. And so he's going to have all kinds of pressures on him and potential conflicts of interest and so forth that does not make him, in my judgment, someone who a president who told us to hope and that there would be change ought to be appointing to a position of this importance.
Well, I think one of the things that brought Tom Wheeler to the president's attention was the fact that he raised $700,000 for him in both in the 2008 and the 2012 campaign. And interesting enough, today the president announced the appointments of a new Secretary of Commerce, Penny Pritzker, from a billionaire from a family that owns the Hyatt hotel chain. She is also a huge bundler and donor to his campaign. But normally the reward for people who raise money for you is that you get to become ambassador of Luxembourg.
Yeah, that's right. And there's some question about that because it kind of demeans the importance of the Foreign Service and our foreign relations with countries all around the world now that we have military bases in 155 of those countries, if for no other reason. But at least they can do much less harm in that position than they can as, say, Secretary of Commerce. But I would say that in terms of the potential harm to the American people, because Secretary of Commerce is really set up, as his title says, to serve commerce. But the chair of the FCC, as I say, is supposed to be there to promote the public interest, to represent those who are not represented. His job is not to maximize the profits of American corporations. It's to maximize the benefits to the American people. And you know, he may surprise us, like Nixon deciding to recognize Red China when nobody else could do it. But there's sure going to be a lot of folks in the consumer movement, the media reform movement, who are going to be keeping an eye on Wheeler and bringing him to task when he plays true to form and represents his former clients and members and investors and whatnot to the detriment of all of the rest of us.
So, Nicholas Johnson, again, a former FCC commissioner who served on the Federal Communications Commission from 1966 to 1973. He's the author of How to Talk Back to Your Television Set and Your Second Priority, A Former FCC Commissioner Speaks Out. He currently teaches law at the University of Iowa College of Law. Now, there are, of course, a lot of people coming to the defense of President Obama's choice to head up the FCC. Tom Wheeler, formerly a lobbyist for two of the big telecom interests, as well as being a venture capitalist. Some people in the White House and in the Obama campaign quoted in the press saying, give him a chance, he's good people. He spent 6 weeks in the 2008 campaign in Iowa campaigning for Obama, working the phones and knocking on the doors. Gigi Sohn, who I know personally, head of public knowledge, says he's a good guy. So can you have the background and resume this guy has, being a lobbyist for the powerful telecoms and the media oligarchs, if you will, and then step into this job and suddenly turn 180 degrees and be a good guy and serve the people?
You know, I don't know of any the rumors are that he's very kind to young children and pets, dogs and so forth. And so it's always possible. And it's certainly, we have some history in this country of presidents like Roosevelt and Kennedy, and to a lesser extent, Johnson, the elder Bush as president, who come into the office with a lot of money and wealth, and yet who can end up serving the people. But in this particular case, he's got specific conflicts with his specific past history. So is it possible? I certainly have a lot of respect for Gigi Sohn, and if she were to tell me personally that he is absolutely her first choice and terrific, I would give that a lot of weight. But aside from that, I think he's got a real uphill battle to try to convince the likes of people like me, members of the Democratic wing of the Democratic Party, that he's really what we're looking for in a position with this tremendous influence and power and sensitivity.
Well, the agency that you served as a commissioner on, the FCC, Nicholas Johnson, I understand that 21 out of the last 26 FCC commissioners ended up working in the industry. So I believe the revolving door is spinning out of control at the FCC, is it not?
Well, it is almost everywhere throughout Washington. It's very sad. I recall once talking to a conference of disc jockeys, and it was back in the 70s when I had a beard and mustache and wore old khaki pants to public events and so forth. And I said, people ask me why I dress this way. And I said, there's so many people in Washington who want to appear to be public officials but act like bandits, that I thought there ought to be at least one who would dress like a bandit and perform like a public official. I knew as a result of what I was doing as an FCC commissioner, that I would never get a job not only in that industry, but probably anywhere in Washington after I left the commission, because I made very clear that it seemed to me the responsibility of a public official is to serve the public. And it is not to further enrich those who are looking for campaign contributions, or those who are looking to increase their lobbying fees, or those who are looking to increase the profits of their corporations. Those considerations are not totally irrelevant, but that is not the primary reason why you're there.
I think it feels like, from our conversation, that at the heart of this is the money and politics issue. And as you know, the Supreme Court's Citizens United ruling opened the floodgate, and the fact that the president is paying off his big donors, giving them cabinet appointments, not that there's anything new about that, I think is an indication of how important money is in politics and how the politicians have to pay back their donors. So do you think the FCC is ever going to act on this? They have the ability to act on it. There is in their charter, they can force disclosure of who's behind campaign funding. So that's about the only way that we can do anything about Citizens United.
Yeah, that's it's going to be tough. I mean, they got the Supreme Court now, too. I did a study many, many years ago. I'm sure it's far worse now than it was then, that I got interested in because the milk producers had wanted to have the support price of milk increased, and the Agriculture Department said, look, we're here to help you guys, and we'd like to do it, but there's no way we can justify it. And then 2 weeks later, it was reported that they gave $200,000 to Richard Nixon, and shortly thereafter, the support price of milk was raised $400 million to the American consumer. And I thought, well, gee, that's really interesting. They got a 2,000-to-1 return on that investment. And so I checked a number of other industries, and they all seem to run about 1,000-to-1 to 2,000-to-1 in terms of the return you get on campaign contributions once you get into the $100,000 and million-dollar level. And I'm sure it's just as bad these days. It can take the form of tax breaks, price supports, tariffs, government contracts, use of public lands. There are a lot of ways they can get their value back, but these are investments. They're not anything that can fairly be called a contribution.
And they sure pay off. I mean, the worst example, or the most egregious example, is if you can, you know, give tens of thousands of dollars to a U.S. senator, if you're a drug company, you can give tens of thousands of dollars to a U.S. senator to extend a patent on a drug that you have. You can make billions of dollars. So the returns are even greater. So
yep.
That's Washington, and I guess now that you're teaching at the College of Law at Iowa, you're out of Washington. You're a lot happier, right?
I am. I am indeed. I might also mention the blog, which is from D.C. to Iowa, blogspot.com. It's FROM and then the numeral 2 from D.C. to Iowa, blogspot.com, where I rant on all these issues from day to day.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Nicholas Johnson.
Thank you, Ian. Appreciate your calling.
Again, I've been speaking with Nicholas Johnson, who was a commissioner on the FCC from 1996 to 1973. He's the author of How to Talk Back to Your Television Set and Your Second Priority. A former FCC commissioner speaks out. He currently teaches law at the University of Iowa College of Law. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program is available for podcasting at ianmasters.com. You can also contact me, and I'll be back again on Sunday at 11 a.m. with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.